Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, 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 yes. Come on and give your girl a hand. I love that. That's Miss Stephanie Mills and here I am. Hello there to all of my tea sippers out there. I am still basking in Monday's interview on Stephanie's birthday, so y'all have to just work with me, honey, work with me. All of my tea sippers out there, I thank you so much for your love and your support. I know you have all of your crumpets and everything together because you know what time it is. It's time to dish tea, and you are dishing tea with Big Meat. Hey, babies. Thank you all for coming out and doing the thing with me, okay? Now, I'm going to get things started and continue on and continue on and continue on with bringing forth the joy. Like I said, I'm still basking, honey. Can you tell? Can you tell? March has really been good to me. This 40th birthday celebration, honey, has been absolutely fantastic. So I'm just very thankful. So if you're tuning in, listening by the computer, and you want to call in, and I'm sure you do today, this today's show is going to be called Don't Come Out of a Bag Wednesdays. We're going to change the name to on Wednesdays whenever we have the forum, honey. It's called Don't Come Out of a Bag Wednesdays. And we're going to have a bunch of red hot topics and red button issues today. So if you want to join in on the conversation, please call at 347-205-9183. Once again, 347-205-9183. I welcome you. I entertain all of your thoughts and your questions, comments, or concerns on the topics that we're going to have today, or if you have something that you want to talk about. Today, and anytime we do the open forum, honey, it's about you, the listener who have a voice. I want your voices to be heard. See, we can only do things and change things, honey, if you speak up and let it be known. Now, it's okay to disagree, because we're not all going to agree on the same things, but let's not be disagreeable, okay? So, and I'm saying that because the tea room is open for those of you who are over there. Please dish tea responsibly in the tea room, okay? I don't want y'all throwing apples and couches and things at your computer screens, honey. Again, it's okay to disagree, and it's okay to be passionate about a point. However, let's not be disagreeable, okay? So please dish your tea responsibly over there. If you have any questions or things, y'all know how I do, honey. I'm a one-man show, baby. And so I bounce back and forth between the screens. So just put your questions up if you can't get through on the line. And I will be reading the screen and carrying on and making sure that I acknowledge you, okay? So with that, let me say this, my disclaimer for the show. Because y'all know I'm a potty mouth, and I make no excuses for it. And I have to be mindful because my auntie listens in sometimes, my mama listens in. And, honey, y'all know me, so okay. But this show is for mature audiences, and the language and subject matters are not appropriate for children, are not appropriate for children, or anyone who is not mature to handle the subject matters at hand, okay? So your listening discretion is advised. Your listening discretion is advised. Now, I'm a potty mouth, so that there is one thing. But today, the subject matter is not that intense, you know, as far as it being sexually explicit or anything like that. It can be, but, you know, I'm just saying all that out there. So just govern yourselves accordingly, okay? Now, I got to say thank you to my sponsors, because without my sponsors, some of the stuff that I do, I wouldn't be able to, because they give me an assist, and I thank them, and I'm greatly, greatly, greatly appreciative of all of their efforts. So my big thank yous go out to Trade Day Management and PR Firm. At Trade Day, enjoy a touch of Southern hospitality with a universal appeal. For your public relations and entertainment management needs, contact Travion Davenport at 678-523-3088. Once again, 678-523-3088, or email her at tradedaypr@gmail.com, tradedaypr@gmail.com, TREADAYPR@gmail.com. Thank you, my darling Trey Day. Pharaoh's Treasure Box. Fine art, unique jewelry, and sensational 3D silk floral arrangements. Creations by Taps. for all of your decorative needs, contact Farrell's Treasure Box at 248-688-5178 or 5179. Once again, 248-688-5178 or 5179. Or email at Farrell's Treasure Box at Comcast.net. Once again, Farrell's Treasure Box at Comcast.net. They have an event coming up. I'll discuss that in just a few moments. Parisian Wine Productions, music to lighten your spirits and lift your soul, specializing in gospel, inspirational house and dance music. For all of your production needs, if you need that hot gospel track for your Christian setting, contact Paris Harrison. He's the CEO, and you can contact him at Paris42268 at yahoo.com. Once again, Paris42268 at yahoo.com. Oh, thank you, Paris. And Parisian Wine. C-Train Productions, you're aboard the right train for all of your entertainment needs with C-Train Productions. Omar Cassidy is the CEO and founder. For all of your casting, producing, and production needs, contact Omar at www.ctrainproductions.com. Once again, www.ctrainproductions.com. Life Fellowship of Christ Ministries. Life, L-I-F-E. Live in freedom everywhere. Reverend James Coleman is the leader and founder of the Ecumenical Social Justice Ministry, brought forth to free the oppressed and introducing a fresh approach to the Christ consciousness. Contact Reverend Coleman at mustardcole at yahoo.com. Once again, mustardcole at yahoo.com. For information about services that are held biweekly, contact him at 313-833-9278. Once again, 313-833-9278. So thank you, Reverend Coleman and Life Ministries. And that there, darling, are the list of my sponsors. If you would like to become a sponsor with Dishing Tea, all you have to do is email me with all of your information to dishingteawithbigmeech@gmail.com. That's Dishing Tea with Big Meech, all one word, and tea is like the drinking tea, T-E-A. Dishing Tea with Big Meech, M-E-A-C-H, at gmail.com. And we'll sit down and go over the particulars and bring you on board, okay? Now, as I said, Farrell's Treasure Box has a wonderful event coming up in June, and yours truly will be there to help facilitate the event, and you get to see me in person, and we get to chit-chat and do all the other things. And this is the Five Mo Artists Show, and it's an evening of art, jazz, and theater, okay, with a special attachment to you, because this year, every year that we do it, we always have a charity that part of the proceeds are going to. And this year, the charity is Uplifting Communities, and it's a community-based, faith-based organization that specializes in bringing forth the community. They are doing home loans and improvement. They're bringing forth child care development and a whole bunch of other programs that are wonderful, 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 in need of building up the community. And they're located out of Southwest Detroit. But that event is going to take place on Saturday, June 5th. Saturday, June 5th, save the date. It's going to be at the Samaritan Center, and that's at 5555 Connor Avenue in Detroit, Michigan. That's on the east side, y'all, for all of my east side folks over there. Connor and Warren area, you know, the old Samaritan Hospital that's over there in that particular area. So the show time is going to start at 7 o'clock. We're running from 7 to midnight. And it's going to be, like I said, an evening of theater, art, and jazz. Coup de tea will be served, and, you know, light refreshments, and get your little drink on, because we will have wine and cheese and that kind of thing. Kind of like it's an upscale event. And make sure you come out. For all of my art lovers and things out there, we have some beautiful pieces that will be displayed, some wonderful new artists that we're going to introduce you to. So it's going to be one of those kinds of evenings. I know you'll have a good time. So if you have any other questions, you can either email me directly at dishingteawithbigmeech@gmail.com or contact Farrell's Treasure Box, again, 248-688-5178 or 5179 for ticket information. We will have a silent auction and some raffles going on. So it's going to be a full event. Now, this event is not for children because we'll be serving wine and things. So this is, you know, for the grown and sexy, although I'm seasoned and sophisticated. So it's going to be for so it's going to be for that kind of evening, okay? So bring your checkbooks and things and buy some artwork because for every purchase that you make, part of your proceeds will be going to the organization Uplifted Communities, okay? And I'll have more information on that. And as a matter of fact, what I want to do is in the future, we're going to have the pastor of the church on so that we can talk with him and get him to really dig deep with you so we can talk more about what it is that they're doing. And we want to rally behind them because I really believe that this is a wonderful event to bring our communities back together and to start that grassroots kind of thing to where we're building up instead of tearing down. And for those of you who watch the news, Detroit really is in need of everything to build. We're in a building phase now. So I invite you to come on out, okay? So, all right, I sound like I'm rambling, but I want to get the information out there because it's very important. And in the times that we're in, honey, yes, we really need all of that, okay? So, having said all that, let's get into today's show. Now, it's been a trip, really, what we've seen in the news, what has been all of our current topics in particular, and then we can dissect this any way you want to dissect it, and then we can introduce new topics. As a matter of fact, I just found one yesterday that I'm going to interject. And let me start with it while it's fresh on my mind. And that is, I was watching Good Morning America yesterday, okay? Actually, online, I came across the clip. And for those of you who love to play snatchies, okay, for those of you who purposely go after married people, okay, those of you who are in the LGBT community who think you got a piece of trade, okay, because he got his woman on, you know, at home and seeing you on the side, for all you bitches who like to be there on the side, bitch, and know it, not that he lied to you, but you know what you're doing. Well, this woman just sued the mistress of her husband for $9 million. The jury awarded her $9 million and found the mistress guilty of alienation of affection. That's on the books in 7 different states across the country that you can sue the mistress and win. $9 million is what the jury said that woman should get. Now, what is your thoughts on that? Miss Thing stood up there and said she was shocked that they awarded her so much money. Okay, shocked. And I said, really? I didn't know how to handle that because I was like, $9 million? They broke it down and said, you know, for pain and suffering, for lost wages. It was something else they said. Go look at the clip. If you go back, go online and search it, honey, because it came on yesterday. And I was floored. But then, what you said, Quad in the T-Room, he said, I'm so mad at that bullshit. That ain't right. You know, I'm kind of on the fence with it. And I'm on the fence with it because the amount of money is sounds just astro-fucking-nomical, okay? I don't know how they came up with that kind of figure. I don't even know if the woman is worth it, you know? But if she can pay it, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, once you win a judgment, honey, if Miss Thing wants this money, she can have Miss Thing's checks garnished, okay, and have that bitch paying her the rest of her life for $9 million. Okay. So I'm not necessarily I didn't agree with the money amount. And I don't understand how they proved that Miss Thing was in the wrong. The wife said, it was proven because my husband introduced us. She said, I knew who she was, and when my husband introduced us as his wife, she then knew what she was doing. And after that point, she pursued to continue to have an adulterous affair with the husband. And it was because of that that that's why she went after him. Okay, Quad says, my thing is that man made a vow, not the mistress. Why she got to pay? Because they proved that the woman was at fault because the woman kept pursuing it. Instead of cutting it off, instead of coming to the wife and saying, okay, look, your husband is this, 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 and this, they said that she pursued it. And because she pursued it and kept it going, they found her at fault. Now, we already know the husband is at fault, true enough. But they found her at fault, and Miss Thing was able to sit up there and sue the mistress. Now, of course, I don't know if they got divorced. I believe that they have, and the man is already paying alimony and carrying on because the divorce then went off, okay, and has finalized. But that she was able to sue the mistress as well. So, darlings, 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 I want to know what y'all got to say on that. Woo! That one was a doozy for me. I said, are you kidding? Are you kidding? I put that up on Facebook. I said, okay, bitches, all of you out there that like to sit up there and be homewreckers and sit up there and know what you do. Oh, I love dating a married man because there ain't no commitment. There ain't no this, there ain't no that. I get what I want and I'm gone. Okay, okay. I got to find out which 7 states, it's only 7 so far in the country, that have that on the books. And I don't know all the states because they showed the map, and I'm not good at looking at each state by map shape or whatever outside of Michigan because it's the glove and that's where I'm from. So it's 7 states that have that on the books, so I need to know how y'all feel on that. Now, let's go here. Another point that I want to discuss today, and that is I want to talk about the First Lady. I love my First Lady. I love me some Michelle Obama. Okay? I love this woman because she is a shining example of just grace and regalness. She reminds me a lot of my mother, you know, as far as her poise. And she's tall like my mom. My mom is 5'11 and a half. And I think she's about that height too. She is just regalness at its grandest as far as I'm concerned. Okay. And her plight of wanting to fight obesity in children. Now, her focus is children. However, the fight for obesity is countrywide and it's people-wide because we have a bad time with our food system here. And it's sad, but we have a bad, bad time with our food system. All these chemicals, all these hormones, all this, and this that we have in our food chain is absolutely ridiculous. And she's on a fight. So my question to you is this. Are we willing to help her fight it? Are we willing to jump on her bandwagon and say, okay, Madam First Lady, we need to do this together? And then what's next? What do you think she ought to do? Because, behind every great man, and we know our president is a great man. I love my president. I love what he stands for. I see the vision that he's working. A lot of folks don't see it. That's why we have a lot of controversy. A lot of folks don't see it. But I see the vision, and I'm willing to work. I may not agree with all the tactics, but I'm willing to work with it because I know what the vision is. I see the outcome. But behind every great man, there is an even greater woman because she's got to endure all of that. She's got to endure all that they put on his shoulders because all of that is going to fall on her shoulders, plus their everyday life, of raising the family, of dealing with the children, of dealing with, you know, what it takes to keep their marriage together. So, yes, what do you think First Lady ought to do next after she conquers this? What do you think? Should she have her own agenda? You know, would this set up a precedent in the White House to where the president's doing this and the First Lady comes on as like a tag team partner? Well, darling, if you're handling this, let me take care of this, you know, and we'll merge it together so it's a part of the big picture. Do you see it like that? Or do you think she should be a little bit more subdued and quieter like we've had a lot of the other First Ladies? You know, who just sat back and were like, you know, this is this. You know, this is my husband's gig. I don't want to be in the spotlight. And even though she is, but, you know, she don't want to draw even more attention to herself. You know what I'm saying? What do you think the First Lady should do? You know, what do you think ought to be her next steps into this game of politics over the next 2.5 years of this first term? I believe he's going to get elected to a second term. I believe that. Because they're going to see the progress of what's going on. Okay? So that there is issue number two. Ooh. Now, I've been agreed to take you to a place where no man, woman, queen, or whatever has gone before. Well, maybe. I don't know. You tell me. Do y'all believe in UFOs? And UFO sightings, you know, when you hear that, what does that do in your spirit? You know, do you think folks are talking out the side of their neck? Do you think that all that space talk is just talk? Do you think that, you know, they say they'd have made it to the moon, but like my mother told me years ago, she said, what they say that they're doing on the moon. When I was a little girl, she says, you know, we had a program called Flash Gordon. And on Flash Gordon, yeah, they had like they was bouncing on the moon and stuff too. So what's the difference? Is this all a Hollywood thing and, you know, they ain't really been there? Or what's the tea? You know, because it all looks the same to me. I said, Mama, that's very interesting. You know, and now that we have technology and the movies done got better, television programs have gotten better, you know, we seeing things and doing things a little bit differently and things, and it has the realistic feel. So do you think that UFOs are real? Or do you think we're just talking out the side of our mouths? Also, what about the money that they spend on space exploration and shit? We got so many different problems down here. What do you think is the tea, huh? What do you think goes on with all of that? Do you feel that these folks are actually doing something, okay? Or do you think like I do, that they could cut back on some of that shit and take some of that money and take care of some of these problems with the world that we have today, especially with our country? We got folks starving. We got an educational system that's failing. So what do you think, huh? Do you think we're spending too much time in the space and in the heavens? Do you think that we are looking to make Star Trek a reality and the Jetsons a reality? Have you paid any attention? All the stuff that happens in the cartoon, the Jetsons, and what was going on in Star Trek and carrying on, even now, Total Recall, okay? You know they want to give us those machines now, the x-ray machines, when you're going through the airports and stuff now to scan your whole body and this, that, and the other. Are we looking to make Star Trek and science fiction a reality now? We spending too much money trying to do that in the name of safety? What you think? Give me a call, honey, 347-205-9183. I would love to hear you. Now, here's another thing, and here's another point. Okay, another topic, if you will. And I'm going to get real a little heavy. Just recently, the current Pope, what is he, Pope Benedict the 16th, went forth and made an apology to all of those who were victims of sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. Okay? Now, the victims themselves are at an outrage because they feel that the Pope didn't do enough. They felt that the Pope is a part of the cover-up. They feel that the Pope ought to have had stronger consequences and things against the perpetrators. What do you think? You know, the Catholic Church has been doing this whole idea with sexual abuse and sexual molestation between priests, particularly with little boys, because you hear this a lot, that it's mainly the little boys that get touched. It's some girls, but it's not a lot of girls. It's boys. Why? Why? The question was posed to me in a personal conversation. Where does it say in the Bible that in order to serve God or to be a priest, a Catholic priest, that you have to be celibate? Okay, what does that mean? Where does that come from? And if they were to do away with that celibacy clause, would that stop a lot of this sexual abuse from going on? Okay, who are my Catholics out there? I know I got Catholics out there listening. I need you to come on in and chime in on this one, honey, because I need to understand it. I don't know Catholicism because that wasn't my thing. I was looking into it, and it bores me, frankly, so it doesn't hold my attention. However, I want to hear from the Catholics out there. What do you think about all of this? Okay, nuns going up in here and taking this vow of chastity. Okay, and going through what they go through in order to say, I'm serving God. And it's a huge sacrifice, you know, particularly when you're coming from an area, if you are already a sexually active being and your body knows what that kind of touch is. Because here's a dynamic that I don't think a lot of folks process. Once the body is introduced to that kind of pleasure, okay, the body then yearns for it, okay? I want you to hear me now, because the body is designed for pleasure, okay? Sexual pleasure, the body is designed for it. That's why when children are abused, and I use that word harshly, when children are abused and their innocence is taken from them, okay, they then start to react because they know it felt good, and it's confusing because they don't know what it is. Kids don't know what that is, okay? As we get older and start to process what that means, then all we know is that that felt good. You know, and we want to do that again, or the body wants to be touched like that again. You know, in most instances, unless it was just harsh and cruel and destructive, okay? But so in this particular instance, I remember years and years and years ago, there was an old talk show back on in Detroit called Kelly and Company. And they, John Kelly and his wife, Marilyn Turner, at the time, they had this group of folks on the talk show. And they were this particular group who made it no secret that they had sex with children. Okay, so they admitted to be pedophiles. And one of the guys on the show made a reference to saying that the kids wanted it, okay, that they enjoy it, they want it. And he had disgusted the host so bad that he asked for them to get off the stage, okay? And most folks, you know, most of us would say would have said the same thing because we think that's ludicrous, okay, that the child wants it. But like I said, the body is designed for pleasure. All they know is that it felt kind of good. You know, it was a different sensation. And as molesters do, they titillate the senses to where it's supposed to feel good so they can keep doing it. Because it's not to hurt you. So, tying all this into the Catholic Church again, if they were to take away that clause, that vow or chastity or whatever, out of their vows of becoming priests and nuns, do you think that this sexual abuse will end? Because there's still new cases. In this article, because the folks over in Ireland are at a complete uproar over this, because there were brand new cases that have come forth where folks are saying, Father so-and-so molested me, Father so-and-so, whatever, whatever. Okay, what needs to be done in that particular instance? How can we take that matter up? And bring it to the forefront to where folks will understand, you know, we can actually get a hold of this. You know, I'm starting to get tongue-tied with it because I don't know how else to say it outside of how to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you will ever stop it because people are going to be people, okay? There are hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of men and people who have been abused at the hand of a priest out there. And to hear the Pope sit up there and say, I'm sorry, you know, I don't know if that was a slap in the face to them or what. You know what I'm saying? And then here's another tidbit. One of the parishes that had brand new discoveries of sexual abuse happens to be the parish that his brother, the Pope's brother, is the diocese over. How about that? Okay. The Pope's brother, according to this article, and you could Google this now, everything I'm telling y'all go look online, okay? Because I'm not going to give y'all nothing that's hearsay or whatever. The article suggested that the diocese or the parish or whatever, where a lot of these new cases are coming from, comes from the parish that the Pope's brother is the diocese over. Interesting, huh? Interesting. And so, do you believe that it's a big cover up? Do you believe that, that something can be done about it? What should the payback be? You know, should they be awarded any kind of monetary compensation? You know, some form of reparations? What do you think? What do you think? Give me a call, 347-205-9183. Once you get into the call queue, press the number 1, your hand will go up, and I can see you on my call board that you have something to say. But I got issues with that one, baby. So, yeah. So those are my four topics today. Now let me do this, because I know last week I was talking with you and I was telling you about my particular health, and I had gotten on this particular verge of taking this quest out and making a shout out to my brothers of size. Okay. Now we all know that we love being big men. You know, there's many advantages to it and things of that nature. However, I want to look at the disadvantages of being the sizes that we are, particularly those of us, well, you know, there's a breakdown, okay, in big boy culture, particularly in the gay culture, because we have thick, chubby, stocky, husky, bear, and then we got chub, super chub, okay? All that is bullshit, in my opinion. However, based on their definitions, the super chub is someone who is over 300 pounds. I think. Is it 300 or 350? One, whatever the case, I happen to fall in that category because I told y'all guys last week I'm 439 pounds, standing 6'4". Okay? Now, I look good because I carry it well. I carry it very well. However, now that I'm 40... my body is telling me, bitch, you need to get up off some of these pounds because my ankles and things are swelling and things. I told you I was in the hospital for cellulitis. My knees pop. I'm tired of feeling like Attila the Hun when I go down steps because I can't walk down the steps properly. You know, we end up stomping because gravity is pulling all that weight down on you. So you end up stomping down the stairs like you know, you're some little Loch Ness monster or something. So now that I'm there, I've made a commitment. I've started these green smoothies, y'all. I told you I was going out to buy the blender. I bought the blender. I started doing, I've only drank two, and I'm going to be honest. I drank two because I don't think I'm doing this right. And I know I didn't follow the ingredients that of the thing. I'm doing my own, right? Well, we know they green. Oh, and they're not real, they don't taste real bad, but they don't taste all that jolly either. So, you know, when you mix, I mix spinach and green apples and carrots and grapefruit, you know, in the blender and mixed it into a smoothie. That's what they say. But I had the wrong ingredients. I was supposed to do something else. But I will say this. After drinking one, because it was liquefied, the nutrients, I can feel it almost instantly as it was going down, that my body was soaking in all of its properties. Okay, so I know that it will work if I get on the right regimen. So I've started, okay? Also with my progress, I'm still off work. My doctors wanted me to be off work until Saturday so I could finish the medicine. Knowing my boss like I know my boss, they're probably going to have me off Friday and Saturday, just bring me in Sunday, and then work me like a Hebrew slave twice removed for 10 days before my next off day. So, due to how the pay period works. So, with that, I've just used up all of my sick days and the rest of my vacation time dealing with this being sick and ill. And that's why I'm coming forth with it, because that wasn't my plan for the rest of my sick days and my vacation. I want to do something else. I wanted to travel and do a little bit more. But I'm putting this out there for all of my big brothers again. Let's look at the health benefits of it. We're not trying to be skinny. I'm not saying get down to, you know, the weight that you were when you graduated high school. If you believe you're supposed to be that way, then I'm not stopping you. What I am saying is you could stand losing about 50 pounds. If you at 300, you could stand losing a good 30 or a good 40, maybe a good 50 to get down to 250 so that it's a little healthier for you. I don't have heart problems, but my pressure is up. It's borderline high, they say, because it's real slight, but it's enough to be borderline high. So they have me on blood pressure medicine. Right. Okay. No, honey. No. I'm looking to be, I want to leave up out of here at 125 years old, April 3rd, and I got to, whatever that date is, honey, when I turn 125. Okay, that's going to be, what? I was born in 1970. Do the math. Okay, I can't call it off right off the top. But 2095, that's it. When I see that, April 3rd, 2095, I want to close my eyes after saying thank you, Lord, for letting me see 125 and letting me have my last birthday hurrah. And I want to just close my eyes and go on to glory. But in order for me to do that, I got to be right. So we got to take care of it now because I'm only 40, honey. You see how much I got a number of ways to go. A few more years, okay? So that's what, 85 years left. So we got to sit up there and do it the right way. So I'm calling out to all of my big boys out there. Let's look at that realistically, okay? Look at your blood pressure. Look at your circulation, okay? For those of you who have circulation issues and things, if you got ED problems because you are getting enough oxygen in your blood, if you're on a CPAP machine because you have sleep apnea, that there contributes to a lot of the problems. We need to get on top of that. I'm stressing, and I said all this last week, and I'm stressing it again because I want to make sure that this here is going to be one of my plights, and I want to keep you updated on my progress so that I'm going public, because if I go public, then I hold myself to it. Okay. And I know many of y'all who know me or will call me or whatever will hold me to it. So that there is that. So, all right. I'm in the tea room. Let me see what's going on. Oh, Kwai said it takes two to tango. He's going back on the mistress thing. He said it takes two to tango. Yes, it does take two to tango. It does. But in a lot of cases, see, here's the thing. I have problems with the folks who purposely go after married children, okay? And the reason why I have a problem with that is because you know what's up to begin with. You think your shit don't stink and that you can handle it because you lacking something in your life. Those who sitting up there thinking that having a piece of man is better than having no man at all are full of shit. And I'm saying that wholeheartedly, and yeah, I said it, because you are, Blanche, you are. If you want to sit up here and take that time to purposely go in and know that you have the capacity of destroying a household, then you're a dirty-ass dog. You are below scum in my book. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to put all that on the homewrecker because, like you said, it does take two. If the person in question is not strong enough to say, okay, I got a problem in my relationship that I need to address, then you too need to be dealt with. Okay? If you sitting up there going through the motherfucking changes and don't want to tell your spouse that you have a problem in the relationship, and you're going to tip without discussing it. I'm not talking to those who got open relationships and understandings. That's something completely different. I'm talking about those who claim to be monogamous, but yet you tip it at night. You make a secret phone calls, Tiger Woods and shit, okay? Got the damn text messages and shit going on. See, that's messy and it's trashy. And you ain't got no business. You have no business putting anybody through the mud. None whatsoever. That is unfair. That is not right. And see, a bitch like me who got emotional issues anyway, see, I ain't wrapped too tight. See, baby, you will come up missing like Hoffa. And see, I got papers anyway. I'm going to serve 2 seconds of time. Lord have mercy, let me stop telling all my business like that. However, the point of the matter is that there ain't cool, people, and ain't cool. And with this particular thing, with the woman winning the $9 million, the wife winning $9 million from the mistress, yeah, I think I believe they really did that, honestly. I think they did that to set a precedent and to make a statement. I really believe that because the lady said that the wife and the lawyer on Good Morning America said that it was the jury that came up with the figure. The jury did it. So I would love to talk to one of them jurors and find out how in the hell did you come up with such an astronomical amount. You know. All right. We got a caller. I'm coming to you right now. They're calling from the computer because I got all ones across my screen. All right then, my darling. Hello, baby. You're dishing your tea with Big Meech. Hey, sugar, what's up?
What's up, Meech?
You, baby, what's happening?
Quiet.
Hey, what's up? Dish, baby, because I know you hot with this one.
Nah, you know I wasn't even going to talk about that because I've been talking about that with the people in my office all morning. You know, that lady, she didn't marry that man. That man married, you know, they were the one that married. She don't owe him nothing. She don't owe that mistress anything, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But what I called you for is to talk to you again about what you were talking about last week. And what me and some of my friends decided, man, is that a lot of times, especially for us when we're dealing with weight issues and stuff like that, like we talk to our friends about it, but then we take it into our own little corner and deal with it ourselves. You know what I mean? And I think, as you said earlier, is like, you know, you have to be held accountable. So what we decided was we're all going to have a blog and we're going to, you know, make ourselves put something on it every week, at least twice a week, and, you know, hold each other accountable for making sure we go to the gym, the times we say we're going to go to the gym, and things like that. Because I think, like I said, it's almost like we take it, and even though I'm suffering with it, you suffering with it, we take it in our little corner and hide it like it's our secret, and so nobody can really help us out with it because we feel like we need to handle it ourselves when we need each other to help each other out. So that's how we're trying to approach it. But I think last week, man, was awesome. I mean, I commend you because I'm not ready to go on radio, TV, in a letter.
Darling, a lot of folks not. You know, a lot of, particularly men, and particularly men of color, they're not willing to go forth and become public like that because, like I said last week, you know, it has become so acceptable in society for a man to get overweight. When you go to your high school reunions and carrying on, that's the first thing we say, that we go on to see who got fat, who balding now, and et cetera, you know. So it's become acceptable for the man to do it. Women have been ostracized for it for years. They, you know, they have babies and they gain a little baby fat or whatever that's hard to get rid of, and then they build on top of that. And women have been, you know, they've been carrying that brunt of scrutiny for, you know, since women have become beautiful items, you know, and have become the mark of beauty, because a lot of folks don't know when makeup was created, it was created for men, and then women just started wearing it, and now it's become a woman's thing. However, women have carried that brunt, and men don't want to come forth because, for whatever reasons, you know, maybe out of embarrassment, out of whatever. You know, and having said all that, now is the time because we can't afford to be laxed on it. And another thing we have to do is stop having lip service, because a man will talk. A man will sit there and say what he's going to do. But when it's all boiled down to it, honey, he still wants them fried pork chops, and I just had two today, okay? Still want them fried pork chops. He still want that fried chicken. He still want the creamy macaroni and cheese with the seven cheeses and carrying on, okay, with all the butter, you know. And, yes, we know it tastes good and this, that, and the other, but we have got to learn how to do everything within reason. And we have to rationalize, and then we have to understand that some things we got to let go of in order to remain healthy. Because as we age, here, let's just put it like this. This body is not designed to last forever. It's not. It breaks down. It goes through all these changes. And what we do is that we end up doing more damage to it. And it breaks down quicker. And then the federal government ain't doing no better because they're putting all these chemicals and shit in the food, which helps break us down even quicker. So now what we have to do is get on the bandwagon and say, listen, I need to do what's best for me. And all of that becomes individual. So when people want to go to the side and do it and get into their little cubby holes, okay, I understand that. But we need help. And a lot of us, we come from a society that says, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps or whatever, and we get afraid to ask for help because we don't want to get ridiculed, and we become like children. And, you know, like before, kids are cruel, and adults are too, because they ain't nothing but grown-up kids, and they talk, they ridicule, they scandalize, and all of that, and nobody wants to go through it. So they would rather be and suffer in silence than to sit up there and take a stance.
Well, you know, one of the things that I decided, like you talking about the pork chops and stuff, like for me, I'm not even ready yet to even focus on diet or anything like that.
Okay, now, how about that? Ain't that truth? Start right there. I love that.
And so, thing that we were talking about is, you know, we don't, you know, make something that you can stick to, and then I'm going to hold you accountable to that. I'm not going to try to hold you accountable to what I think you need to be doing. You know what I mean? So I told
exactly.
I'm going to the gym 3 times a week. That's all I can commit to right now. I'm going to make sure I go to the gym. So help me out on that. Oh, but listen to me. So the other thing I want to talk to you about, and I don't want to get into a big discussion, but the thing you were talking about a few minutes ago with the parish priests and all that stuff.
Yeah.
One of the big problems with that is that for so long, not just Catholicism, but all, like, especially Christianity, like, they haven't approached sexuality, like, hetero or homo. They haven't really approached it in a scientific manner. So that's why they think it's possible for a priest to just be celibate. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, if you decide that you're not going to use sexual energy, that energy doesn't disappear. It's got to go somewhere. And I ain't saying that's the reason why these priests are messing with little kids. I'm just saying you can't ignore
no.
the power of sexual energy. You know what I mean?
Baby. Oh, what a fabulous dynamic. Oh, what a fabulous dynamic. Wow. Wow. All right, see?
Have you ever seen, woo! You know how some of those Catholic priests, like, they do this thing where they whip themselves?
Yeah,
you know why they do that? Like, a lot of them do it because they're trying to extend that energy that they would normally use sexually. They got to do something with it. And then, but these other priests, it's like, you know, just because you decide to make a vow of celibacy, you know, you're still human. And human, you know, sexual activity is a thing that humans like to do. And you can't ignore that.
And they get aroused, exactly. And arousal comes in many different forms. Because not only the Catholic, the Catholicism does that, was that the Jewish faith with the rabbi carrying on when couples get married? Yes, their wedding night is witness to make sure that the marriage is consummated.
Right.
Because the marriage doesn't mean anything until it's consummated, and that's even here. And that's a come. I know of a couple of couples who got their marriages annulled because the marriage was not consummated, and it just so happened that they were gay. A gay child married this woman, and he never did the thing. And so, yes. So here you are. So right, sexual energy is so powerful. And we tend to underestimate that. That's why sexual addiction exists, because folks who done let it go, you know, and get so far in it, they don't know how to control it. It is such, wow, I like that dynamic that the church don't even deal with the science of sex.
Exactly.
Damn, that's a topic.
Hey, this is it, exactly. I'll call in for that one.
Oh, okay. See, okay. I got to write that one down. The science of sex and sexual energy, and the church don't address it, and they don't.
Right.
They don't. They don't.
So anyway,
woo, that's delicious, Quad. That's delicious.
Go ahead and do the show. I'm not going to keep you any longer.
Well, all right. Thank you for dishing your tea with me, sugar.
All right.
All right. Are you going on Big Dogs tonight? Yeah, they didn't do it last week. I was pissed, honey. Got me all ready for anyway, bless them anyway, honey. You know, they get busy from time to time. But, yeah, I'll see you tonight.
All right.
I think. I may have an engagement. Anyway. All right. I'll talk with you in a minute. All right, children. Yes. Isn't that just fabulous? The science of sexual energy. Now, that was power right there, baby. He says that the church don't deal with it, period. Not hetero or homo. Only thing they do deal with is saying that homosexuality is wrong and that the man and the woman should get married and be fruitful and multiply. That's the only thing they deal with. They don't deal with the science of what sex is. That is beautiful. That's the show topic. Thanks, Quad. Yes, baby. I love it. I love it. Let me go here. Okay. Hey, we got 313-651 coming into play. 313-651. Hey, darling. Thank you for dishing your tea with me. What's the tea?
Hi. I'd like to remain anonymous.
Oh.
I want to talk about UFOs. You know, I think that this really, you know, this mania started in with the Roswell incident back in the 1940s, I believe, 50s, when the alleged spaceship crashed, and it was this huge uproar. Well, you know, after that, we saw a huge increase or boost in technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we began to go places that no one's gone. You know, currently, I believe that there are missions to Mars where they have satellites that are in place, and they are now sending back images to Earth. And I'm just wondering if we do cut funds, you know, what will happen
mm-hmm.
to those probes and those programs, things that are already in space? What will happen to those? Is it just money lost? You know, how do we handle that?
You know, that's a really good question. That is a good question. And then all the money that's wasted when the damn equipment is broken, it don't make its destination, the damn rockets blow up and carry on its way to the destination. That there is very, 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 that's a very good question. Because
well,
I see so much. Go ahead.
I think that in order for us to, as a people, to make a sound judgment or decision based on the space program and NASA, I think we really need transparency. You know, I know there are organizations out there that are even approaching the Obama administration and calling for transparency when it comes to UFOs. You know, I feel that we need to know, you know, if they know, we need to know so that we can, so that the funds can be justified. You know, okay, we're spending billions upon billions of dollars because we know that they're out there. They have already visited us. We have proof of that. They've come to us. Now we're trying to get to them.
Really? Now, see, about transparency. See, we've talked about this before, and my whole thing with transparency is we as humans don't know how to process information, okay? If we were to get that kind of information, we then would go overboard, and I know I've heard, okay, you just playing into that whole hysteria thing that they want to believe will happen with the human public. But the human public has already demonstrated that they would get hysterical and start going all off the deep end when they get information. I mean, let's take what's going on now. Look at the healthcare thing that Obama just passed. Before, these folks are still rallying and saying they'd have made up something in their minds that they're going to lose their coverage because there is a public option. And they have created this fantasy, and now they have the fantasy has a mind of its own. And so when you give the American, particularly the American people, information, they tend to run wild with it. So that transparency thing, I think it needs to be there, but I think it needs to be on a need-to-know basis because now here's the thing. I think that the money that's spent ought to be just like any other business. You have public forum and you have records because our tax dollars is what funds these damn things. And I need to know how in the hell you spending my tax dollars when you sending up this $15 million rocket up here
but
in the damn stratosphere.
Is it so important to know how they're spending it or why?
Is
it so important?
Well, you know what? They're one and the same. I don't think you can put an importance on either one because the whole idea is you done spent my damn money. As far as the why is concerned, the why is irrelevant if you can't explain to me, if you can't show me exactly where it's spent and then have the explanation behind it. Because that's why they're one and the same. I think I just fucked up and contradicted myself just there. But they're one and the same because if you spent it, you're going to tell me why. Okay, and the whole thing of it is it needs to be open so that I can have questions. I need to see this in writing. Okay, the government spent $1,700 on a hammer. You know, they did that on a news report one time. They're talking about how wasteful the government spends, and they went through and said they spent $1,700.
Yeah, for what?
You know, something that you could get for $25, you spend $1,700. I don't care who designed that damn tube, Bill. $1,700 for a piece of leather to wrap around my damn waist to hold a hammer does not require $1,700. Where in the hell is the rest of that damn money? Because I spent $25 for mine. So that means you got $1,600 and some change in your damn pocket somewhere. So the whole idea is we need to make them accountable for this and then explain to us the why. Now, they probably won't give us the real truth and say, okay, we're looking for Martians and carrying on. However, we need to understand what is going on. But they need to give us the information in terms that won't sit there and freak us out. Because you know damn well if they say, oh, we done found a UFO and we done found extraterrestrials on another planet, here on the television screen, you see V done came back on. How coincidental is V coming
right.
back on
I was
on the TV, and
up.
Then we got UFO sightings. We just had somebody somewhere just said that they just saw a UFO sighting, what, 2-3 days ago? Yeah, 2 or 3 days ago. They just saw UFO sightings, triangular-shaped lights in the sky and shit hovering over different places. And then they say that the U.S. government went up and told them, oh, those were just flares. Flares my ass. Okay, what kind of flares? Landing flares?
That's what I don't understand. Why do they go running? Why are the police out there on the scene, fire department, everything, when these alleged ships crash or these things are seen, but the government is aware that it's a flare? You know, is this a test? You know, why are we on such a high alert when these things happen if it's not real, if it's just a flare?
Okay, right.
You know, there was some incident I believe it was in New Mexico here recently, where they heard some type of sonic boom and they saw lights in the sky. And, I mean, thousands of people saw this and they went running out to the scene and all of this mass hysteria going on because they didn't know what was going on. You know, the government then, you know, after all of this happened, says, oh, well, it was flares from a nearby base that was, I think, 30 miles away from the particular town that, you know, really – you know, got hit the hardest with the blast and the lights and saw everything, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, why then were they out there? You know, what were you running out there for, spending again all of this money? Because
right,
every time
right.
the police go out, the fire department goes out, you know, their team goes out, you know, that's money. You know, so why
sure.
are we being wasteful if we know
true.
That this is what it is.
True, true that, true that. I agree with that, you know, and that's why I'm saying, so the importance is you can't put one over the other because they coincide. They coincide. They're one and the same. You spent this money, why? You know, then the amount of money. See, all of that ties into the same thing because here we are in a place where our economy is on the verge of collapse. As a matter of fact, if you really want to know the truth, it has collapsed. Okay, maybe the first tier. Okay, we haven't toppled completely over, but we've collapsed. And in a time where we're looking for money and our president's getting hit with all this BS about, you know, they're talking about his particular kind of spending. And like he told the Republicans the other day, honey, when he had the meeting, he went to the House of Representatives and had a meeting with all Republicans. And he told them to their face, because they sat up there and asked him about his budget, and you did this and you done did that. He said, wait a minute. When I came into office, y'all was already at $8 million or whatever. He sat down and did them damn numbers of the deficit. He said, so this is what I inherited. I didn't come in with all this bullshit. Y'all knew because y'all were in control. Y'all knew this. So you ain't going to put this on me. Now, yes, in my time, I added this amount of money to it, but all of this ain't mine, and you're not going to slump me with all of this. So with all of that being said, this wasteful spending in this economy for programs that are just dumbfounded as far as I'm concerned, because we don't see the significance or the relevance of it. All I see now is you sending up rockets and things to find out if there's life on another planet and haven't even taken care of the one we're living on.
Well, and I was going to bring that up. Do you think that the space program, NASA, that all of this is in place due to global warming?
Do you think they
know that that we're destroying this particular planet and we're doing this because we're trying to find someplace else to go so we can destroy that too?
You know what? That's an interesting thought, and I will not. I won't say yes or no to that because I will not. If you thought of that, then I'm sure you know the rocket scientists may have thought of that. You know, since they're supposed to be so intelligent. So I won't say yes or no. How I will say this: I think what it is they may have stumbled upon it. Because of the destruction, because we are too busy looking at this planet and in our haste and in our greediness and in our microwaveness to want to have everything now and quick and convenient, we have created such a monster, and now we didn't think of the repercussions behind it. Plastic is a wonderful tool. Plastic is lovely, okay? We're able to do a lot with plastic. However, that shit don't break down. It is not recyclable, at least it wasn't. And now we got landfills upon landfills upon landfills of nothing but waste that is sitting up there corrupting and corroding the soil. And if it's corroding the soil, how can we plant anything to have a decent food crop? Okay, so they don't think about the long-term effects of everything. Just like Samoa said in Queens of Comedy, the motherfucking side effects. Okay, nobody thought about that. Okay, and now we're in a place to where either we're going to get it together or humanity, as we know it, is going to kill itself off, and then we're going to the evolution process is going to start all over again. Because if you notice, whenever they send a rocket up, I don't care who it is, the United States, Russia, Germany, whenever they send a rocket up, haven't you noticed that within days after that rocket go up, when it go up and when it come back down, there's major catastrophe down here on Earth?
Well,
we have all kinds
also,
of tidal waves and floods.
I want to also add that also, though, when the alleged UFO sightings, there are also natural disasters that occur.
I don't believe in coincidences. Okay, I don't believe in coincidences because everything happens for a reason. There's a reason behind all of that. And why? Because the atmospheric continuum has shifted. Anytime you go against the atmospheric continuum, is going to shift down here. Everything goes in a circle. When you look at the wind, when it blows in a circle. Look at leaves, how they dance up and down the street, honey. When leaves blow, they blow in a circle and they flip and they roll. So that means that the pressure is on a circular motion. And yet everything that we do, we go straight up perpendicular to it and it fucks up the rhythm. So when it tears up the rhythm, yes, it's going to have catastrophe down here. And you're going outside, supposedly, of the hemisphere and outside of what we know to be our space. I can't think of the word that I want to say. It's not the hemisphere. Anyway, when we go outside of the Earth and carrying on, yes, it's going to have repercussions because all of that disrupts the natural flow. It disrupts it. So with that, I'm not understanding how come they have not made that correlation. They have not made it all because they want to look at space. And my whole thing is they want to bring Star Trek and the Jetsons to real life. Why? I have not put my finger on yet.
The movies are just really a preview of what's to come for real life. I mean,
how
I heard
about
you mention earlier Total Recall. A good example of, they're traveling from Earth to Mars, and they have to go through this thing that scans their entire body. And what do we have to do today? You know, that program is currently in place.
That's
right. You mentioned V. Again, you know, why? You know, why at this time? Are they preparing us for something? You know, all of these movies that are coming out dealing with space, I mean, even the TV programs. And then where did that idea even come from? Gene Roddenberry, Star Trek.
Right,
you know, going
exactly.
Back there, where did it come from?
Exactly.
You know,
and see,
so
I'm going to tell you this.
These lights in the sky and these things being seen, they've been going on for hundreds of years.
I'm going to tell you this. 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 Everyone knows that the FCC has to approve everything that goes on television and that comes out in the movies. If they don't approve it, it does not get shown. And that means if they approved it, that means it's okay to tell the American people. And my whole belief has always been, if it's already this far to where you want to tell me, then you've already made advances for some new shit that we don't know about yet. Now, my confirmation on that was in my psychology class. And my professor, this was back in 06 when I was in school, my professor said, anytime it gets to these books, because we were talking about they were training the chimpanzee to use his brain. They're training the chimps to use telekinesis to call shit up and to make things move. And carrying on, if you don't remember, that was an episode of Wonder Woman back in 1976 when they sat up there and made the chimpanzees and things and put the damn things on there for the folks to go up and move shit with your mind. And it just now made the textbooks. She said that experiment has been going on for years. I said, really? She said, anytime it makes the textbooks where we can teach it and tell you a little bit about it, it's because it made advances already on it, and that's the part they can tell you. So now that we sit up there talking about aliens and carrying on on the TV and carrying on and got movies and stuff. Yes, that's preparing you. You was a child when the Bionic Man and the $6 Million Man and the Bionic Woman was on TV. We was told, oh, that's just television. What happened now? Would you look on Good Morning America the other day when they had the bionic arm and shit and the damn thing was able to do this, that, and the other?
Well, I'll take you back even further than Wonder Woman and give you the Planet of the Apes.
Okay, take me back, Cornelius. Take me to Cornelius.
You know, I mean, that's
exactly
where it started from. You know, that was our preview right there of what's
coming.
And if we keep doing what we're doing and giving them telekinesis and this knees and that knees, you know, then we're headed for problems.
Darling, we
because
already
we're going to be so far advanced, you know, because we can't do that. You know, we haven't channeled that in human yet.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, so why are we trying to force that on an animal?
That we can't control and don't know nothing about and can't communicate with. What was the movie Ocean Blue, I think it was, with Samuel Jackson and LL Cool J with the shark, and they were set up there and gave the shark intelligence and carrying on, and then the damn sharks outsmarted them and found out how to eat their asses and shit? Yeah, okay, you want to play. And we just damn pawns. We're the pawns. See, this space thing, I'm telling you, this is a hot topic. A lot of folks don't want to discuss it because they don't think that it's real. A lot of folks come out of a bag and want to think that it is conspiracy theories. But child, all you have to do is sit down and I don't care if it's a conspiracy theory or not. Think about it. Think. All it takes is just common sense. Regardless of if it's a conspiracy theory, if you think about it, it don't make sense to do this, and this. How in the hell are you going to look for life on another planet and you can't communicate with your neighbor next door? Okay, you can't You don't even know how to access all of the what we have here. You're going to sit up there and tell me you're going out looking for alien beings or terrestrial beings from another planet and going to act as if we can't communicate with them, not knowing what their technologies are or whatever. And for those of you who don't believe there's life elsewhere, you foolish, because that's arrogant to think that the Earth is the only planet and you learned that there was nine and they found out there's a tenth one.
Oh,
how
it
about
goes
it?
Beyond that. It goes beyond that.
Exactly. We have a whole galaxy out there. A whole galaxy. Bitch, we got stars. And you can't even count all the stars. And they say that a star, honey, is a planet that you can't. John, you. Okay. Okay. Now you want. Yeah.
Well, I've enjoyed this conversation, Big Meech. Thank you so much for letting me dish my tea and remain anonymous.
Yeah, okay, anonymous. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, darling. Ciao. I know who that is, children, so don't think I'm being shady with him. He just know I'm going to have a public conversation with him, a private one, rather, when I get him on the phone. Mr. Anonymous. Anywho. Whew. All right. Ciao. Okay. Oh, yeah, I think that just got me going because shit, that's just silly. It's just silly and it's crazy and the kids, folks just don't want to, they don't want to open up to it. And here's another thing. And I'm saying it because I am patriotic. I love my country. I realize as I investigate and look at other countries and things that the United States is the best country on the planet. We have all of our freedoms, although they're trying to take them from us. We have all of our freedoms. We are in a democratic society, though it looks like a dictatorship a lot of times. We are a democratic society, and my voice counts. That's why I wanted you to call in today. Your voice counts because it needs to be heard. Whether we agree or disagree, your voice needs to be heard, and we have to hear you in order to understand you. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times we just talk, and we talk over one another, and nothing is heard. We just hear a lot of shouting, and no one is listening. But here's the thing. As patriotic as I am with this country, I realize that our country is not patriotic to us. Okay? Our country will leave us out like pawns on a chessboard and will allow us to be snapped up and snatched up all in the name of capitalism. We are in a very capitalistic society, and those who are not a part of the capitalistic game are the ones who get sucked up, bumped off, snatched, killed. You played the game of chess. If not chess, you've played checkers. And you know how that works. When you move your piece, the goal is to get to the other side to get your king so they can crown you. But in order to get there, you got to take out pieces. And that there is where it is. And a lot of times we are on this wonderful game of chess and checkers or whatever, and a lot of the American people are the pawns and are the ones who are the expendable ones, okay, and end up taking the brunt. And then what happens is, yes, America thinks that, you know, the government, and I'm going to say that like that, the government thinks that if they pay you off, because everybody want money, if they pay it off, give you a nice settlement and things and make your family okay and you able to do this, and this, that's supposed to mean something. But that doesn't take away from life. And all of this space stuff and everything that we're doing to harm the planet, to harm ourselves, all of it is a damn experiment. For what purpose? I don't know. Who's to gain? I don't know. Because if everybody is gone, who's going to be here to reap the benefits of it? So that there is, I see, when I said that we don't think about the long-term effects of all of this, that's what I'm talking about. First Lady, when they got to the White House, what did she do? She dug up space and started planting vegetables. Ha! Who else did that at the White House? Nobody. Okay. She stood up there and said, we need to get back to basics, understanding that we need fresh fruits and vegetables and things in order to nourish our bodies. Yes, it's hard work because you got to till that land. You got to go with the soil. You got to plant and tend to the crop and care and all. But when it's time for the harvest, it yields greatly. Okay, and you see the benefit and all of that. Okay, and that there is something that the government does not do with its people. We, the people, have got to make government work for us. We have to remember that democracy means that the government works for us. Not we work for the government. The government works for us. And that's the part that they don't get. Everybody hollering about the bill and carrying on. Well, we got this government. I don't want government in this. I don't want government in that. The government works for us. Damn it. We can't have a democratic society if we don't get that. Now, I think I just switched my topics, but I'm on a roll because I'm listening to myself talking, and I was on something, and I just switched up. But we're... That there is where we are, and I really believe that a lot of times most of us don't get it, most of us don't understand it. I don't even think a lot of us care, you know. But that space thing, I'm telling you, is a hot button topic for me. That's a what the fuck moment, because there's too much money going up in a space program, and you can't sit up there and can't take care of Earth. You don't even know how the fuck to do down here, and you going to tell me that you're going to send shit up to the moon and find out that it's made of green cheese or not, and you got telescopes looking at Mars, and then you can look into see, like I said, they done found a 10th planet. They ain't even got a name for it yet, but they said, oh, we done found a 10th planet finally. After all these damn years when we learned there were 9 planets in the solar system, and now they done found a 10th one. Okay, what does that mean to us? Not a damn thing right now. How are we going to go to Pluto or Saturn or Uranus or Neptune and Earth is fucked up? But you discover something. Okay, Christopher Columbus. Yeah, you discovered. Been there all the time. So, oh, merciful God in heaven. Now, here's the thing. The science of sex. That was a very good one. I like that. The science of sex. That the church don't teach it one way or the other. They don't teach nothing about the science of it. I like that. That's going to be a topic that I'm going to bring up soon because I want to research that just a little bit more. And have an expert to come on. I think I need some kind of sexologist or something. Y'all email me at dishingteawithbigmeech@gmail.com. Dishingteawithbigmeech@gmail.com. And tell me what you think on that because, yeah, church. We all know that the church don't talk about sex, period. They're scared to talk about HIV. They're scared to talk about this. Even the country's scared to talk about it because the country believes that this is an abstinence-only country. That's what they teach in the schools, abstinence-only. How in the hell are you going to teach abstinence-only and yet we still got babies running around here? Babies coming every damn 2 minutes, yet you teaching abstinence-only. That's a fucking lie. How are you going to teach abstinence only, and yet, that's a contradiction. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Okay, you see how all of this just becomes a great, big, huge circle, because it starts to become foolish. It starts to become foolish when you think on it. So now, I'm going to leave it up to y'all. Okay, I'm going to leave it up to y'all. Y'all tell me. Okay. Now we're down to my timer just came in. I'm down to the last 90 seconds. And Let me just say thank you to my callers that called in. Thank you to all of y'all over there in the tea room listening. Yeah, remember, honey, like I said, don't come out of a bag Wednesdays, honey. Just don't come out of a bag on me with some okey-doke shit. You know what I'm saying? That's just some okey-doke nonsense. But all right, that's today's show, children. I want you to join me next week as we will bring to you Mr. Winston Bennett, ex-NBA player for the I think he played for the Cavaliers. He's now the head coach at Mid-Continent University, excuse me. And he will be here to discuss him coming public with his sexual addiction, how his claim is that he averaged sleeping with 90 women in a month's time. You know, he admits to giving his wife two sexually transmitted diseases during that time, and his wife stayed with him, and they're still together today. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to get real with it because I'm going to share my story of sexual addiction with him. So with that, my darlings, I thank you, and I hope to see you guys next week. So remember, we're always dishing tea with Big Meech. I'll talk with you soon. Ciao.